We are flipping the script this morning a little bit. You might have noticed that we didn't sing quite as many songs in the beginning of the service as we normally do, and that's because Pastor Chris has asked me to speak this morning about worship. So I thought, let's talk about worship for a little while, and then at the end of the service, let's engage with God in worship. So at the end, the worship team is going to come back up, and we're going to sing three songs at the end of the service instead of doing them in the beginning of the service. And I'm glad Pastor Chris asked me to speak about worship. This last February 1st, just two weeks ago, was my third year anniversary here at Summit Church as one of the pastors. I know, I'm excited too, 3 years. And this is the first time I've really had an opportunity to talk to you guys about worship. This is my life's passion. I've devoted my life to this. And every Sunday we gather and we worship together. So I'm really looking forward to the opportunity to talk to you about what it is we actually do. Now, I'll be the first to admit that gathering together and singing together is super weird. It's strange. Where else in the world or in our life do we do that? Maybe we sing happy birthday to somebody, or the seventh inning stretch, everybody stands up and sings take me out to the ball game. Maybe the national anthem or something, but we just don't, in the rest of our lives, we don't get together and we don't sing together. Maybe a couple hundred years ago, people would gather in public houses and sing songs because they were bored. They didn't have TV, and so it was entertainment. Or maybe hundreds of years before that, people would gather around campfires and sing songs to pass on the stories of their heroes and their ancestors. But we don't do any of that stuff. And so gathering together to sing is something that is, outside of church, kind of a foreign experience anymore. And even going to concerts, they're so expensive now, maybe we go to one a year, if that, two, three if you're lucky. So what is it that we are doing? I wanna zero in this morning with laser focus and talk about singing in church. Now I know that worship is a lifestyle and that worship is not just singing. It is how we live our all-day, everyday life in devotion and worship to God. But we do use this word worship 9 times out of 10 to describe singing in church. So that's where I really want to drill down this morning. In this series, Life in 2020, we've been trying to get some of these practices in our life into focus so that we can have an amazing 2020. And I think if we realize and we figure out and we understand what's happening during the singing time of our church service, that we will not only have an amazing 2020, we will have a miraculous 2020. And those who are maybe traveling for the 3-day weekend, how cool would it be if they came back next week and they were like, what church is this? This is a different place. It's transformed. That's my hope for this morning. So what is worship? Worship is a learned behavior. We don't come out of the womb praising Jesus. Hallelujah, praise the Lord. We learn how to worship. It's a love language. It's a way that we relate to God, and we learn it by gathering together and participating in it. And in church, it's often a lesson we consider caught, not taught. And what I mean by that is you come to church and you see the other people around you singing, and you hear the other people around you singing, and as you start to want to engage with God more and you work up your courage, you start to open your mouth and you start to sing along and clap your hands. And it's kind of a learn-as-you-go experience. But I think that if we stop for a moment and talk about it, that hopefully some light bulbs will go off in your mind and in your heart to what that singing time is really all about. The word worship comes from the Old English worship. It's spelled funny, but it's basically the same word. And it means to attribute worth to an object or a being. So when we worship God, we are attributing worth to God. The most common word in the New Testament was written in Greek, the most common word for worship is proskuneo. And that means to come and bow before and to approach like a dog kissing a master's hand. Isn't that a cool image? To come and to bow before, to approach and to kiss your master's hand. How many of you guys have ever had a dog? Yeah, I'm a dog person. Cats are of the devil. But dogs are amazing. And when you get home, you open that front door and your dog is just bouncing and frolicking. It is so happy to see you. You are the center of their world and they just lick and jump and scratch and play. And that's that image that word is trying to capture, that when we come before our God, we're not supposed to come before our God like cats. You're home, feed me, I'm gonna sleep now. That's not how we're supposed to approach God. We're supposed to approach God like a dog approaching its master and bouncing and frolicking and just be there ready to play and be engaged with our people. Now, we don't just sing because we like it. It's actually a biblical command. There are biblical commands that we receive through Scripture, like prayer, fasting, spending time with God in the Word, tithing. These are all biblical commands. And singing is one of those biblical commands. So let's look into Scripture now, Psalm 100. We're going to read the whole thing. It'll be on the screens and also in your app. Psalm 100 says this: "Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is good. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations." Did you guys catch that opening line? Shout for joy. Shout for joy. Not whisper for joy. Not stand there and hold my coffee and sway back and forth for joy. Not stand there with my arms crossed and watch Brian shout for joy. But it says, shout for joy, all the earth. And you live on planet Earth, so you are the recipient of this command. All of us are called to shout for joy. I hear some amens and I like it. I like it a lot. Okay. So my role as a worship leader then, in church, I'm on the platform, I'm standing up there playing guitar and saying, let's clap our hands, let's sing for the Lord, let's begin to dance and shout and give him praise. My role, this is how I see my role, I'm gonna explain it to you. If you've ever been to an aerobics class, or a dance class, or a spin class, or something like that, you go to the gym and you've signed up for this class, and you come in and there's an instructor in the front, and they start shouting things out. Lift those arms, lift those arms, lift those arms, lift those legs, lift those legs. You signed up for the class. You're there because you want to burn calories. So the leader up in the front is just helping you do what you want to do. That's what my role is in the church. Thank you, thank you. I'm not performing up there. I'm not trying to win any Grammys. And Lord knows that'll never happen. My job is just to be an instructor. Come on, you're here. You chose to be here. You want to praise God. And so I'm gonna help you. I'm gonna help you. Let's do this together. Let's do it together. I got a video here I wanna show you. This gives you a peek inside my brain, all right? So if you've ever wondered what's going on with Brian, why does that guy bounce around on the stage all the time and just acting the fool? Well, David acted the fool when he was worshiping and God was pleased with him, but that's beside the point. I got a video here. And I want to play it, and I'm going to talk over it and give you just a peek inside my mind. So let's play that first video. This is a guy named Chris Tomlin. He's leading an arena full of people and praising God. We're going to turn it into a massive dance floor. Get those hands clapping. Get loose. Get some bounce in your step. So he's up on the stage, he's shouting out commands. We're gonna start singing together. I'm God's great dancer. So he is trying to get the crowd going because the crowd is there to do exactly that. We're commanded in Psalm 100 to shout for joy. And so he's up there and he's calling out, this is what we're gonna do. We're gonna get loose. We're gonna start praising God. We're gonna start clapping our hands. We're gonna start tapping our toes. And when I do that on a Sunday morning, it's with that same heart that you guys are here to do exactly that, So let me help you zero in and focus in on that role. Now, I understand that if you don't understand what worship is and you don't understand why we sing in church, then there's this guy up on the stage and he is shouting these commands at you and he's telling you what to do, and you might feel like Buddy the Elf in this next clip.
Go on with what?
Well, are you gonna sing a song or something?
A song? Yeah. Anything for you, Dad. I'm here with my dad, and we never met, and he wants me to sing him a song. And I was adopted, but you didn't know I was born. So I'm here now, I found you. And guess what? I love you. I love you. I love you.
You gonna sing a song or something? Get on with it. So I could be on the platform and going, come on, guys, let's sing and let's shout. And if you don't know what worship is, you can be like, okay, I'm singing and I'm trying and I don't know what's going on. I get it. I get it. I was at a worship conference years ago, and there was this worship leader named Andy Hunter, and at the time, techno music was like really big, like dance music, and he was leading worship in clubs. So he would go to these clubs, and he would lead worship, and the music was all doonch, 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 doonch. And the whole time, for 20 minutes, there was no words on the screen, no, nothing. It was just him with his music, going doonch, 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 dance, everybody dance, dance. He was from London. Dance, everybody dance for Jesus, dance for Jesus. Now scream, scream, scream. Doonch, 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 doonch. And me and my other friends were standing there like, we don't know what to do with our hands. Like, I'm pulling out every dance move I know, because I don't really dance, I don't go to clubs, I don't know what I'm doing. And so I understand that feeling when you don't understand what's going on. It can put you in this defensive posture where you love the Lord, you want to love God, and you don't know what's going on. So this morning, I want to help you. I want to explain to you what singing in church is all about. And hopefully at the end of this service, when we gather and we start to lift our voices and praise the Lord, you will know without a shadow of a doubt what you're doing. So point number one is this. Why do we sing in church? Why do we have music? Why do we spend almost half of our church service in song? Point number one is this. Worship is the soundtrack of our church service. Worship is the soundtrack of our church service. What is a soundtrack? In movies, the soundtrack is the music, the orchestration that sets the mood and the tone for the scene that you're seeing. Famous film composer James Horner, he composed music for Braveheart and Titanic and a bunch of other giant films. He says this, my job is to make sure at every turn of the film, it's something the audience can feel with their heart. You may have heard the name John Williams, probably one of the most iconic film composers. His credits are Star Wars, Jurassic Park, Harry Potter, Superman, just to name a few. These themes jump into our mind automatically when we hear the names of those movies. Steven Spielberg, his longtime collaborator, says this about John Williams. Without John Williams, bikes don't really fly, nor do brooms in Quidditch matches, nor do men in red capes. There's no force. Dinosaurs do not walk the earth. We do not wonder. We do not weep. We do not believe. The soundtrack of the movie makes the movie. The soundtrack of the movie sets the mood and the tone for the movie. I got one more video clip for you. Watch this clip, listen to the music, and just be aware of how it makes you feel while you're watching the clip.
elevator shuttle has arrived. 7.
What did the music do? In the beginning of the clip, it's ominous. You know that Darth Vader's coming, and tension and stress sets in, and you feel I should be afraid of this guy. And then the music flips, and the commander's looking at Darth Vader like his prom date is coming down the stairs or something. No longer ominous, no longer scary. The soundtrack sets the mood, the soundtrack sets the tone for what's going on. And here at Summit, we are unapologetically celebration-oriented. Because every week that we gather, we are celebrating the finished work of Jesus Christ. Amen. And though we might have trials or troubles or problems or stress or cares in our life, when we gather and that music starts to go, and those songs of hope and freedom and redemption start to be sung, it sets the tone for our service. The type of music that we play is connected to our emotions. If I'm going to the gym, I want to listen to something, you know, more aggressive with a driving backbeat so that I can lift a little bit heavier weight. And if I want to take a nap, I'll put on something soft and ambient to help me relax. Music is just connected to our emotions. And there are some people that think that music shouldn't drive the emotionalism of church, and I just think that's foolish. Our God is an emotional God. Our God feels the wide range of emotions, and he created us in his likeness and his image to feel the wide range of emotions. So we can bring that before our God. Otherwise, he wouldn't have said, shout for joy. Otherwise, he would have said, whisper and stand there with my coffee. That's what he would have said, but he didn't say that. Listen to how the message interprets Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. On your feet now, applaud God. Bring a gift of laughter. Sing yourselves into his presence. Isn't that good? Bring a gift of laughter. So the music that we do in our church should inspire that kind of joy and celebration. Let's stand to our feet. Let's begin to clap and shout songs of praise because our God is worthy of a song. He is worthy of worship. And when you're late to church and you miss the worship, it's like watching a movie without the soundtrack. You're seeing the images, but you're missing out on that emotional movement that can take place in your heart. So, be on time. So now that we've talked about some of the practical aspects of why we have music and why we sing in church, I want to move now a little bit more into the spiritual side of what's going on. Point two is this. Worship shifts my focus from me to God. Worship shifts my focus from me to God. I get it. Life is busy. It's crazy. Work, school, kids, soccer, baseball, activities, going to the gym, grocery shopping, laundry. It is busy, and Sunday morning is exactly like that. But when we come to church, we walk through these doors, and the music starts to play, and the songs of hope, and the songs of joy, and the songs of laughter, and the songs of breakthrough, and the songs of overcoming start to fill this room. It just begins to shift our focus into the things of God. Starts to shift our focus away from just thinking about my life, what's going on, all my responsibilities and what I have to do, and it starts to shift my focus to the things of God. And when we zero in on God, amazing things begin to happen. Listen to this. In 2 Kings chapter 3, Elisha the prophet is approached by a couple of kings, and these kings want to know what God is doing. And so they approach this prophet and they inquire of him. They ask him, God, what's God going to do? And listen to Elisha's words here. In verse 3:15, he says, "Now bring me a harpist." And while the harpist was playing, the hand of the Lord came on Elisha, and he said, "This is what the Lord says, I will fill this valley with pools of water." So he calls a harpist and starts to play music, and God starts to work supernaturally behind the scenes. The music is playing, and God lays his hand on Elijah and gives him the word, the answer to the question that these kings have brought. Listen to the story of Saul when he was being anointed as king. This was before he was actually king. It was in the moment where he's being anointed as king. In 1 Samuel chapter 10, it says this: "Saul, as you approach the town, you will meet a procession of prophets coming down from the high places with lyres and timbrels and pipes and harps being played before them. And they will be prophesying. And the Spirit of the Lord will come powerfully on you, and you will prophesy with them. And you will be changed into a different person." When he and his servant arrived at Gibeah, a procession of prophets met him, and the Spirit of God came powerfully upon him, and he joined in their prophesying. So the music is starting to be played. This procession of prophets is coming down, and they're singing, they're worshiping. Prophesying is just a fancy word of God interacting with man. So God is interacting with these people while they're singing praises. And then Saul hears the music, and he hears the prophesying, and then he joins in with them. And then God says, in that moment, you are changed. So not only does music set the tone for our church service like a soundtrack, God is at work behind the scenes, doing things, moving, working. One more scripture here. Later in Saul's life, God is pretty upset with Saul at this point. And so God is allowing this evil spirit to torment Saul. Listen to what it says in 1 Samuel 16:23. "Whenever God allowed the evil spirit to afflict Saul, David would play the harp, and Saul would be relieved of his torment, and the evil spirit would depart." While David played the harp, Saul would be relieved of his torment, and the evil spirit would depart. So God is allowing this evil spirit to come and bother Saul. And it's not God that makes the evil spirit relent. It's David leading in with his anointing and music and playing his harp that causes the evil spirit to relent. There's things going on behind the scenes as we worship. And I'll tell you what, there are things that God reserves to do only when we worship. There are things God reserves to do only when we worship. There's spiritual practices in our lives where God has said, if you do this, I will do that. Tithing is one of them. We talk about that almost every week. When you step into the obedience of tithing, God releases and unleashes a unique favor over your life. When you tithe, God unleashes and releases a unique favor over your life. Now, the word hymn, we've all heard that word hymn, right? Singing hymns. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Singing hymns. That word hymn is actually a Greek word in the New Testament, hymn. It's a Greek word that was taken right from Greek, dropped right into English, and this is what it means: singing a tithe of a song. So a hymn is singing a tithe of a song. When we tithe, God unleashes a special favor. When we sing a tithe of a song to God, God unleashes a special favor. There are some of you, I know it, guys. I know you don't sing. I've heard it. I've heard you talk to me about it or talk to others about it and just say, you know what? The music doesn't do anything for me. The singing doesn't do anything for me. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Why I'm here right now explaining this to you is because God wants to give you so much more in your time of worship. And at the end, I'm going to ask you to step out in faith and just begin to lift your voice. So start getting ready. Start getting brave now because it's coming. We're going to look at one more scripture. Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas are in a heap of trouble. They are in trouble. They are beaten and imprisoned. Here's the scene. After Paul and Silas have been severely flogged and they were thrown into prison and the jailer was commanded to guard them carefully, about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. They were giving God their spiritual tithe in a song. And the other parishioners were listening to them. Suddenly, there was such a violent earthquake that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and at once all the prison doors flew open, and everyone's chains came loose. Paul and Silas were severely beaten and thrown into prison, and then they had a pity party. Nope. They began to pray and worship. They were worshiping God, and all the other prisoners around them were worshiping too. They were listening to it. They were hearing what was going on. And not only were the chains of Paul and Silas loosened, but the chains of everybody around them in the prison were loosened also. Which leads me to our third point. Write this down. Worship is both vertical and horizontal. Worship is both vertical and horizontal. Worship is vertical, which means we are lifting our praises to God. We are singing directly to God. The music is the canvas on which we paint our prayers. Our worship to God is just simply prayers put to music. It's prayers put to song. So we're giving God praise. But at the same time, there are people listening to us. So worship is also horizontal. Those around us, they're listening to us sing, which means we're also singing to those around us. We're singing these words of truth over those around us. These prayers put to music are prayers for the saints around us. There is a phrase that floats around churchdom that goes something like this. Our worship is for an audience of one, God, and we need not be concerned what those around us think. Unfortunately, that's just utter poppycock. Claptrap, balderdash. It's foolishness. It's unbiblical. Yes, we sing to God. He is our central focus, but we need to also be aware that there are people around us who need to hear these words of hope. They need to hear these words of hope. Listen to Colossians 3:16. Let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Vertical, horizontal, vertical, horizontal. Its sister passage in Ephesians chapter 5 says this, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another with psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit. Sing and make music from your heart to the Lord. Worship is both horizontal and vertical, vertical and horizontal. Why? Because the songs have words, and the words communicate biblical truth. So when we are speaking these words and we are singing these words, we are filling this room with the truth of who God is. We've started to think of our church service in these little compartmental packages, right? We have our gathering song, let's all get together. The band's gonna start playing and you're out there, you're finishing your donut, you're drinking coffee and you hear the band start to play and you go, oh, church is starting. And so you make your way in and you find your seat and by the end of the first song, you're settled. No judgments, no judgments. I get it. You know, you're hanging out, having a good time. That's cool. Then somebody comes up and does announcements. And then we all stand and we sing three or four songs together and then we sit and then we have our offering time and then we stand and we sing one more song and then we jump into the message or the sermon and we hear the word of God and we kind of think about our church service in these compartments. But what if we thought about worship as the sermon that we participate in? The message in the word of God that's being spoken and you are speaking the words. I don't say this to minimize the message or the sermon. I don't say that as minimize. I say this to elevate our thinking on worship. That when we gather and we're the ones giving the words of hope and encouragement and we're singing them to God, at the same time, people around us are hearing these words of hope and encouragement and celebration, and it's speaking to their hearts and it's moving them and changing them. There's this pastor in England who mentored a young worship leader named Matt Redman. This worship leader has written songs that are sung around the globe. We've sung them in our church, you probably just don't recognize the name. So this pastor, Mike Pilavachi, is speaking about Matt Redman in kind of a joking way, and he says, you know what? People don't sing my sermons in the shower. And it's true. Words have a way of getting stuck in our head when they're put to music. When we're singing these songs and they get stuck in our head, and you're driving around on a Wednesday and you're singing, I'm gonna see a victory, I'm gonna see a victory, for the battle belongs to the Lord. A song is stuck in my head for 4 days now and I can't seem to get it out. But so what? You're gonna see a victory and the battle belongs to the Lord. The words matter, and it's good that they get stuck in your head. The words matter. God created with a word. Jesus is called the Word. Jesus healed with a word. Jesus commanded us to go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, using words. Our God has chosen to use words, and when we put these words to music, it's powerful. At this moment, I'm going to invite the worship team back up. And in a minute, we're going to sing together. We'll let these guys get settled and get ready to go. And I want to start to wrap up with this. Worship should be dangerous. Worship should be dangerous. It should move us out of our comfort zone. It should shake our foundations. Worship should be dangerous because none of us came into this room hoping that we're going to walk out the doors exactly the same way that we came in. All of us came in going, God, create in me a new heart, O Lord. Mold me and make me more into the likeness of your Son, Jesus Christ. I'm going to sit here and do nothing and zone out for an hour. Amen. And then we leave. None of us do that. We come to church praying that God would continue his mighty work in our heart and that he would continue to transform us. And so my challenge to you right now, those of you that sing, sing loud. Those of you that worship, worship with all of your heart. Those of you who are like Buddy the Elf that try but maybe just didn't understand, be the Buddy the Elf and go, I'm trying. I'm just going for it because I love you, I love you, I love you, God. And those of you who stand there with your arms folded and your mouth closed and say, worship is not for me, it does nothing for me, I'm challenging you right now to begin to open your mouth. Begin to sing these words of praise to God. Give him the glory because of that little part of us, that pride part of us, that self-conscious part of us should be shaken while we worship so that we decrease and he increases, so that our focus is taken off of us and given 100% fully to the God of the universe. So I'm gonna ask you to stand right now with me. We're gonna begin to sing songs of praise to our God. There's a chorus that's been around for a long time called How Great Is Our God. It's a simple chorus. It starts horizontal. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And then it turns vertical. You're the name above all names. You are worthy of all praise. My heart will sing, how great is our God? So let's sing. Let's just begin to worship together. I'm asking you to do something scary. There's not a big band playing right now. It's just voices. This is going to be challenging, but I'm asking you to step out and try this. Just begin to give God your worship. Let's sing together. How great is our God? Sing with me. How great is our God? And all will see how great. How great is our God? How great is our God? One more time. Sing together. Here we go. How great.